Welcome to an episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is taking place right after the holiday. It's the 30th of December. I haven't had too many podcasts. I released one podcast yesterday, which is Geek Brunch Retro, and I have one more DC Spotlight to release, but then other than that, I have nothing. So I did take a significant amount of time off, but I tried to keep in the bank a couple of podcasts, so it looks like I'm posting one per week. So that's the situation, although some of those podcasts were recorded a long time ago. Had a pretty nice Christmas break, kind of uneventful. Like, it was mostly just hanging out with my parents and Barb's parents. But that was pretty significant. I got to see my aunt and uncle, and we really just ate inside this time. Like, I don't think we went out too often. It was mostly eating cooked meals, pozole, tamales, ham, carne adobada, beans, red chili. All kinds of good stuff. There was a lot of pie eating and cookie eating too. So I got to get everything into control now and start eating good again. And dish out those 3 pounds I just gained over the holidays. So I got to get back down. But one of the interesting things that happened was we recently bought a new Honda 2022 car, and one of the first things that happened to it is we had a windstorm, and we were worried about it blowing down our fence. And right now the winds are about 30 miles an hour, and our fence does look like it's going to go down at some point. The older part of the fence, the newer part of the fence, it has those metal railings, so those railings wouldn't like snap like or rot like a post would. But I think one of the posts on our fence is giving out. We have to replace that fence. But we had a windstorm that kicked up to about 60 mile an hour winds. And Barb works near Garden of the Gods, and there's a new Amazon facility there, and there's a lot of wood and stuff being built around it. And one of those, a piece of the pa a pallet flew into the car and dented the rear of this brand new car, like the quarter panel, and then the there's a panel around the tire that was all dented. And if you look from afar, it doesn't look like, but you look up close and you can see that it's all busted. And we're gonna get that replaced, but we said, oh, you know, it's pretty safe to drive. Everything is good. But on Christmas Day, I kid you not, we usually do Christmas Eve at Barb's and then Christmas Day at my parents. But we were getting ready to go over to my parents to eat and see what Santa gave us in the stockings. And we were heading over, got in the car, and I closed my door and I heard and I looked over at Barb, and then she closed her door, and then another, and then we looked at each other and turned our heads to the back, and the whole back window just shattered into a billion pieces. So then we have this brand new car with a shattered windshield, which probably was damaged, and the pressure of opening the doors at the same time and then closing them near the same time caused a sort of vacuum effect, and the window was probably already damaged and we didn't know it. And it shattered into a billion pieces. And then we had to cope with, well, how do we protect our car from somebody breaking into it while we're there? So luckily enough, my dad had an extra car, and I drove my car into his garage and then borrowed his old car and then used it for the rest of the trip. And then we just had to buy some, we bought some like painter's plastic and wrapped it around the hatch so it would sort of like be like a window. We couldn't see through it, but we drove back like that, and then we took it. But it's looking pretty scary. Like our car might not be, because the parts might not be ready for a month or two. So that really sucks. But and then everything was good and back to normal. And then we noticed our toilet was leaking. And I Googled it, and I was like, I wonder if I could fix this, but it wasn't a non-standard toilet, so I called a plumber to come and fix. The worst case, it was the tank was really leaking, but there's two types of tanks: one that has the two bolts that come up, and then the gasket underneath it, and then one has the three. And mine is the older tank has the three, and the plumber came and didn't have the part, so now I'm waiting parts on this toilet as well. But that was only slightly leaking, so it wasn't terribly bad. But yeah, I haven't had the most good luck in terms of things breaking this year. But overall, it was a quiet Christmas and relaxing. I failed miserably. I had a lot of goals that I was gonna try to do over the break. I was gonna try to read another novel, which I did start. Called Later by Stephen King. I was gonna read as much comics as I possibly could. Didn't do very well in that because of a TV show. Before I left for Albuquerque, I started watching a show on Netflix called Sex Education, and it was 3 seasons, 8 episodes at about 50 to 55 minutes per episode. So in reality, that's almost like 24 hours, if you round up each episode, that's like 24 hours of straight TV. Well, that's what I did over the holiday because I absolutely fell in love with these characters. It's like a British show, and the premise of it is very weird. It's sort of like a private school, and one of the kids' mothers is a sex therapist, and he doesn't get along with his mother. She's a single parent, and he's got some odd friends. He's got a gay friend that is struggling to get anybody to like him. He falls in love with this girl called Maeve, who's looks like a goth chick, but she's incredibly smart. And they decide that the students at the school are having trouble with a lot of sex issues, and she realizes that her s the that Otis, who's the main character, can talk like a sex therapist. So they start providing sex therapy for some of the students. And it's just an incredible journey. And some of the characters that I couldn't stand at the beginning, I fell in love with at the end. Like, I understood why they were assholes and stuff as the series progressed. But I went through 3 seasons of that and watched a lot of it. And then I watched a lot of streaming with my mom and dad, which I'll go into it at some point. But that's how I spent my holiday. Is watching a lot of Sex Education on Netflix, which I highly recommend. 'Cause I right before that I had just finished Money Heist, the final season, which was an amazing finale, and then jumped into this one. I started Arcane, which is an animated show, which I like, but I don't like have to watch it. It's just beautiful to look at. It's like a steampunk looking show. kind of like an Oliver Twist so far, with these kids that rob stuff. And then there's these, they rob these small crystals which have immense power, and I really don't know much more beyond that. But I did start, and I will watch that. I watched another episode as I was bagging and boarding comics, but yeah, that's how the break went. I didn't read much. I started to get into Machine Man, which is I've never read before, believe it or not. I've owned it, but never read it. It was in my Jack Kirby completist thing, and I wanted to have Machine Man. And then I read an article in Back Issue Magazine, which drew me to Machine Man. And I just started reading it, and it's really good. I really am enjoying it. It's very weird. But some of the things that happened over the break is Dark Horse got acquired by a company. And I was recently listening to 11 O'Clock Comics. And I listen to 11 O'Clock Comics, but I don't listen to the interview shows. Just like I listen to Comics for Fun and Profit, but I don't listen to the interview shows. I don't know what it is, but I like psychologically don't like to listen to interview shows. I even well like WordBalloon. I don't want to listen to interview shows. I'd rather know like hosts that aren't big shots in the comic industry, and I'd rather just get to know them, I guess. I guess that's where I stand with podcasts. But I was listening to it, and Jason Wood was talking about who acquired them. And I was always wondering, very curious, like Dark Horse licensed everything, and what are their biggest sellers now that they don't have much, at least according to the stuff that I read. And I know Jeff Lemire owned his stuff, and I was wondering if Matt Kent had owned his stuff, and it's really complicated, and there's supposedly a video on it. But to learn some of their best sellers are like Plants vs. Zombies and Berserk, which is a manga. Some of the things were very surprising. Like Hellboy was there, but it was like ranked fifth. And then the rest of the stuff that I read weren't even ranked. So it goes to show how much money they're making on things that I know nothing about. Which doesn't surprise me. It just kind of does, 'cause I like to have my pulse on the industry, and I guess I don't always have it on everything. It's sort of in whatever I like, I guess you could say. And my weak spot in comics definitely is manga for sure, and all ages comics. But yeah, I found that extremely interesting. And before I left, Ed had like a record day on a Sunday because he opened up a Sunday before the holiday, which he's usually closed, and he sold a lot of stuff, he said. So it was like, well, I guess a worthwhile day for him to open up. And then I've been still trying to, when I placed my DCBS order, still trying to strategically bring that cost down. And this last month was tough because of the Conan Omnis. But I broke my streak in Epic Collections. I didn't get the Carnage Epic Collection because most of that stuff will be covered in Spider-Man. And I didn't get the Conan Epic Collection, even though I have everything before it, because I decided I just wanted to finish that off in Omnibuy. So I wasn't going to double dip like I have been. And I've still been looking at things with a critical eye. Like one of the things I started to do, but I've been very bad at, I had one really good week where I read just all number ones that came in, and then I made some decisions where I cut two books immediately because I read them right away, and I was like, ah, oh, that's good, but I don't do I do we really need to get that? I love comics, and I want to read everything, even the stuff that's mediocre. It's just that I'm overwhelmed with product in the house right now, and I had watched a YouTube video yesterday from my co-host of the original Geek Brunch, Heath Holland. He does a podcast, or I don't know if they call him podcast, but a video cast called Serial at Midnight. And Heath was always like the talented one in terms of media production and where he wanted to take Geek Brunch and where I ended up taking it. He was definitely more of the extrovert than I was. I was sort of the introvert on the podcast, and he sort of developed this thing called Brunch Buddies, and I'm glad he did because I met some really good friends through that and got to hear their voices and get to know them at Heroes Con and everything, which spawned a lot of other podcasts that I ended up doing. But if it wasn't for Geek Brunch, I wouldn't have met Bill Bomer. If it wasn't for Geek Brunch, I wouldn't have met Eric Martin, the star of DC Noise. Yeah, there was a lot of connections in there that happened, and now I'm doing things totally the way I want to do them. And he's doing things totally the way he's wanna do them. Matter of fact, I was listening to his podcast or video cast. The reason I was drawn to it, I don't usually watch YouTube videos. Matter of fact, I shouldn't even be recording this episode because I should be at work still, but I had to come home for the plumber who didn't have the part. And it was one of those appointments. We'll be there between 2 and 4, and guess when they showed up? 4. So I had some bad luck with that. And I just decided today when I was at work, I was super busy trying to catch up on my emails and get certain things done. And I tried to I realized I was just gonna take today half day, and tomorrow I'm gonna probably do the same. Nobody's around. It's kind of nice in one aspect is I could sit and concentrate and get stuff done and be super efficient. But I decided to take another 4 hours. And even with all that said and all the time off that I've done, I still have almost 7 weeks of vacation going into the new year. So, it's not a bad situation to have almost 2 months worth of vacation going into the new year. That was all accumulation because of COVID. And yeah, so I have still a lot of vacation, so I said I'm just gonna use the extra 8. And then I'll probably have to use another 4 for a plumber next week, but at least he didn't charge me today, which was good. He's gonna wait till he gets the part, and he did sort of fix the toilet temporarily, so it won't be leaking. But yeah, I was watching the video. What was drawn me to that video is just a coincidentally of scrolling. I can't remember if I was scrolling through Facebook or if I was scrolling through Twitter, which I tend to do. Every night I try not to spend a lot of time on social media, but every night and early morning I go through the Twitter feeds, and yes, I know I'm subject to their algorithms. I do try to look at my list on Twitter to focus in on the people that I really want to follow, But they don't post a lot anymore. So I've been looking at the entire Twitter feed, and I ran across, I think it was Serial at Midnight, and it was an interesting topic that it was, I can't remember how he worded it. It was, what do you do when you run out of room? And I was drawn to it because I'm at that point. I've already got two storage units. And I listened to his podcast, and he's at capacity, and he's gonna look to cut back. And everything that he said wasn't new to me. Like, I understand where he's coming from, and a lot of our strategies are similar. The one thing I was shocked at was to find that he's made his whole life, like, his whole occupation now is to be a content creator. And he's full time at that, which man, that's a crazy thing to do. But if he can do it, that's where his passion is. So if anybody can do it and make it profitable, I'm sure it's Heath. Because his personality is very addictive, and he does know how to juice up and has a lot of like technical ideas for things and stuff like that. He always brought that to Geek Brunch, and a matter of fact, he did our first Geek Brunch video cast where we all met at Heroes, and I still love to watch that video. It's incredible how he put that thing together, based on pictures and based on video content that I had given him from my camcorder, because at that time it wasn't phones where you can record video. I had a camcorder. So yeah, it came out really well. But yeah, I found out he's a full-time content provider, and that's got to be a good life to. I would never have the balls to do that, but that's something I would consider doing when I retire. If I can make $50 a month, that's $50 a month. I don't know. I'd probably make more money working at a restaurant or whatever, but this would be like I'm retired, I'm collecting retirement, and this would just be, bonus, whatever I want to do with that $50. But like if I could, I have so many ideas for podcasts on what I want to do, but I just don't have time. And the time that I do have, I can almost, I've kept my podcasts in certain formats where I could almost inject the things that I want to do in individual podcasts into those podcasts, into the existing ones. So I still get to play with what I want to do within the existing framework of my podcasts. But yeah, that was very interesting, and I understand. Like, he's like, I'm not gonna buy a storage unit for just storing data that I'm not gonna be looking at. It is kind of like thought-provoking for sure. And it's weird as a collector because you love, and it brings so much joy to have this content, like have all this stuff. And I've been going full blast for, God, it's been about 15 years where I've just been buying almost all the previews. And I realized that I'm not getting to the material, and I love it all, and I want to love it, but it's filling a short box is getting to be painful. For some reason, my legs are falling apart. I definitely need to see like a therapist, but like my knee where I had my torn meniscus, and ACL is really aggravating me on stairs now. Like, I don't know if that's old age, weight gain, or what, but that's bothering me along with my left hip. And I think the hip thing is genetic because my brother has the same thing and my mom has the same thing. And then my right Achilles. So I've been like a fucking mess. And I try to rehab it again. Like I try to increase my exercise to try to get it. And sometimes I aggravate the fuck out of it, so it looks like I'm hobbling around, and it looks like I'm walking like Frankenstein. But yeah, that's it's all weird. But I've been processing a lot lately in my head and trying to figure out like where I want to be. And I found some horrible news too over the holidays. You know, I checked my email and I found out that one of the testers I worked with who retired died. And I'm like, fuck. That guy didn't even get to enjoy his retirement. He basically retired with all these plans, and I think it was like 6 months after retirement, found out he had stage four cancer. And that is like a huge fear of mine. I do not want to die working. I do not, and that's why I'm really want to retire early, because you never know when you're gonna punch your ticket. And I was saddened, not only because he was a really cool guy, but because he worked his whole goddamn life so he could enjoy, the last few years of his life, and then finds out he has stage four cancer and then perished. That's pretty fucked up. And a similar thing to George Perez, he retired because of his hands and eyes and stuff, and then now he finds out he had stage three cancer. So, don't know. I just know that I have to accelerate. I need to retire soon. I want to spend more time with my parents, especially I want to learn stuff from my dad because he's a handyman. I'd be fixing my own shit right now, and he's so talented with wood. I want to learn shit like that. I want to do this stuff that I never did, that I never had time for. But yeah, it's a crazy world, and you never know when your ticket's punched. I mean, Eric Martin, my co-host, I couldn't believe when I got the call from, I didn't even know his brother. I got a call from his brother and he said, I know you're one of his best friends and Eric's dead. And I like, who the fuck are you? And then I saw tweets coming out from Eric. I didn't know Eric timed tweets. I assume that's how like Aaron Myers times this. Oh, bought this for $1, bought this for $3, bought this for $4. Well, Eric did something very similar. And I thought this Eric's brother was not Eric's brother. I'm like, you're fucking with me. And he's dead. And yes, I'm in contact with his daughter now on Facebook. And it's great to see her, Gracie. She's now college age and also his ex. I do talk to his ex-wife. And also his niece. But he died in his fucking 30s, man. And he died when he was out of work. He was still looking for work, 'cause I remember he couldn't go to a doctor 'cause he didn't have any health insurance. And he was waiting to either get a job or enroll in college and use the school doctors 'cause he was feeling winded, and then he's dead. So yeah, it's this world and this life is just, it's so short. And you gotta do what you gotta do, you know? Which means I better get my ass out of my my hand out of my ass and finish that comic book, The Guesser. I really gotta get it out there because it's drawn and the story's done. I just have to letter it, figure out if I want colors, and then get it printed. You know, I gotta come up with a logo too. But that's a lot of money. I was kind of exhausted with all the money I dished out for the art, and I had the cover colored and then the cover drawn, and then I was like, wow, man, I am gonna lose a boatload on this endeavor. But I'm glad I did it because I saw how fucking hard it is. So it kind of taught me the process. But yeah, it's an interesting world. And this is like my diary, so you get to hear all the good and the bad and the ugly. And yeah, I can't go 100 miles an hour on stuff. Matter of fact, I can't even walk in the living room anymore. Because I need to take boxes that I've been merging into the storage unit. And I really wish I could take a year sabbatical and then, you know, spend weeks getting things in that book room presentable, and more bookshelves, and then take out the furniture, like gut the furniture entirely, and then just have the futon in there so I can read. But that's where I want my collected editions, but I just don't have time. And then I get home and I'm too damn exhausted. But yeah. So a lot of fucking Kickstarters came in while I was on a holiday. I was shocked by how many Kickstarters came in. I got another issue of Legend of Oz, Wicked West, another issue of Betty Wicked number 5, Standstill 7 and 8, another issue of Primal. I already read that one because I love Jungle Girls and Primal. I got Baboon, which was cool. I already read that one by Jamie Jones. He's a guy I discovered on Twitter that his art style is very pulpy and it looks like Eric Powell, like sort of to me. And I love Eric Powell, so yeah, I just love the Baboon. And then I got one of my friends that I met from Greek Brunch, brunch buddy, Alan White. Got Alan's Power Principle trade paperback volume 2, the director's cut. So I need to dig into that. See, learn the process and see, just enjoy his art. I know he draws on the iPad, which is very interesting. I supported this before I knew it was coming out in Antarctic. I got another Valkyrie Key of Storms. I got issue 7 of Eerie. That's one I'm gonna probably not get anymore and just stick to Creeps. Not because of its quality, but because it's easier for me to order and get discounted it through previews. But I do love it. And I got Sister Mercy trade paperback, which Liberty Brigade. I even forgot this thing took so damn long. It's like public domain characters with a lot of popular, you know, friends, and Wade is involved in some of this and like big names. I got Zagor, The Great Conspiracy. Never read that shit. But just a ton of Kickstarters. But yeah, I had a whole basket full of Kickstarters I had to open. So I don't know if I have any more questions, but I'm going to take a look on my Twitter, see if I have any to address. That would be under bookmarks. I do have a few. And I don't know if I've answered this. But okay, that one I know I had answered. So I need to remove that. What do I need to do to do that? Remove bookmark. And I think I did these ones as well. So I'm going to remove those three questions from Nick. I just don't think I removed the bookmarks. This one I think I answered. He asked me about this is from Dallo Spicer. He said Valiant have launched a Kickstarter with some unknown creators. What do you think of this move and what will it take you to get on board? I was already on board when you I didn't even know about it until you notified me and immediately signed up for it because it was Valiant and I guess there is no guarantee that I would be able to get it otherwise. So I pulled the plug on that one and picked that up. So I'm gonna remove that one now, like I should be more disciplined on these. Remove that bookmark. I'm pretty sure I answered that before. And I'm pretty sure I answered this one from Drew about DC fandom, because I remember talking about in a previous episode some of the things I was excited about, like the Suicide Squad cartoon and a couple other things, like the Black Adam. So I think I just haven't been clearing these out. This one is hypothetically, you have to raise $5,000 by selling books. Do you sell a few high value books or lots of your lowest value books? This one I know I didn't answer. And these books cannot be repurchased. My answer today might have been different than if I had answered this weeks ago. But after watching Heath's video on Serial at Midnight, I think I'd rather sell more of stuff that I don't care about as much as those high-priced items, just because of room. If there was more, like if I could sell 100 issues of something I wasn't drawn, now finding that would be a bitch. I don't even know where I would start with this. And you're asking me a question I can't really plan for, but I can answer. I would sell lots of lowest value books. I think I would keep the high value books because the high value books I think are just going to keep going up. Maybe some of those speculator books that you don't know if they're going to go up or down and get rid of some of those. But some of like the Silver Age and I wouldn't want to get rid of my Valiant and a lot of my Silver Age and Bronze Age. Maybe focused on the current stuff. But I'm glad you didn't ask, like, what do you do? You asked if it's the high value books or the low value books. I think collected editions would be a lot of things I would just to make more room. But I'm just going to answer that as lower value books. More quantity than, I guess, one book that has multiple. And I'm going to remove that one because I know I didn't answer that. Kirk asks, will you change how you store comics if we can't bag and board comics anymore? Well, I am changing the Mylar out because it just doesn't exist. Like, I'm still waiting. I got one order. I'm down to about 500 bags and boards, and you say, oh, that'll last me forever, but that's going to last me like 3 more weeks, the way books are coming in. So I ordered in October, I think another 2,000, and they were at that time they told me they didn't have any more was it halfbacks. They had the Mylars, but not the halfbacks. But I said, do you have a replacement for the halfback? And they said they did. So I ordered another 2,000 Mylars, but that charge hasn't hit yet. So I think I'm still waiting on shit. But when I will pick up 100 bags and boards from the comic shop as time goes on, they still have stuff. So, that's what I'm gonna do. If I can't bag and board, I will box. And if I run out of drawer boxes, then I'm in trouble. But the new drawer boxes that I am buying have the rails. And what a rail is it's good at protecting books vertically from sliding and bending and curving if you don't have bags and boards. So as long as I have the rails and I have the dividers and the adjusted, I can adjust the rails within it. I can still store them. If I can't get back drawer box, then I'm gonna have to settle for regular boxes, and those will have damages unless I could somehow buffer them somehow by putting like filler in there. I'd prefer if I could at least buy the drawer box with if there are no bags and boards. So that's a good question because it could happen. Kirk's always got good questions. He's always thinking because he's thinking the same thing. What am I gonna do? If your local grocery store started carrying comics again, would you buy from them or still keep pre-ordering everything? That one's easy. I'd keep pre-ordering everything because the cost at a grocery store would be full retail, and I would just get it at a discount. Now, if they were at the grocery store, there might be some impulse buys, but that would be provided that they have something to offer that it or isn't already pre solicited. Something like that company that went directly to Walmart. I forget what they're called, but if it was like that, then I would do some impulse buys maybe at the grocery store. So I keep hitting the ellipses and I need to hit this other thing for that option. Have you ever gotten in trouble with your wife for buying a comic? No. Never. And I bought thousands. I bought in comics in the thousands. She knew I was gonna buy it. I've told her ahead of time, but she knows I'm fucking weird. Now, I am starting to encroach in her space, but I'm alleviating that with storage unit. But I think if I don't encroach on her space, I'm okay. You then asked beef ribs or pork ribs. I prefer beef ribs. No, what am I saying? I prefer pork ribs. I always prefer the pork ribs over the beef ribs. They're just like a softer meat, which I enjoy. This has like a refresh timer. When it refreshes, I lose my place on the scroll. But I think I'm gonna do one more question. Chris Pfeiffer, who I haven't heard from in a while, I don't know if he still listens to it. He used to listen to the podcast quite a bit. But he asks an interesting question. Did you ever buy Marvel Fun and Games when you were young? And if so, did you treat it as an activity book and write in it, or as a comic and keep it pristine? I owned one issue of Marvel Fun and Games, and I did all the crosswords and the find a word and all that stuff. I used it, and I would buy a lot of the trips that we went on, like road trips. We'd get like a fun activity book, and one time I found a Marvel Fun and Games book and did that. But most of the time it was like these activity books that you would find at the grocery store that would have all that, but wouldn't be Marvel centric. So I did a lot of those and I filled it in. And I don't even own that one Marvel Fun and Games because I think I did all the puzzles that I wanted to do anyway, read what I wanted to do, the strips that were there. I think they even had some things like draw this character out of this line, and then you go from there. I would do the activities with the pencil, and then I would throw away the activity book when I was done with it. But yeah, those were fun. A good way for a kid without an iPad back, we didn't have that kind of shit. So what did you do? There was no TV watching, or luckily we had some cassette tapes on those trips, and my dad built speakers to the back of the truck where we had a he had speakers back there, and he would we'd be able to put a cassette and say, "We want to hear REO Speedwagon." He'd put in REO Speedwagon, we'd be able to hear REO Speedwagon. "We want to hear the greatest hits of the Beatles." We'd hear that. "We want to hear Foreigner." We'd hear Foreigner. "We want to hear Def Leppard, Pyromania." I remember doing that. So we'd be listening to stuff, playing activity books, reading comic books, and that's how we passed time when we were driving. There was no video content to be absorbed at the time, no phones to go look at social media. So we did our own things. We played with this activity book, and we read comics. So that was our way to, travel, listen to music, slept. So that's a good question, Chris. Remove that one. And I'll save a few for later, for a rainy day, because I'm running out. But thank you for the thank you, Dallo. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Kirk, thank you, Chris. So, yeah, those are good questions. Keep sending them, please, at any time. I queue them up. I would appreciate that. The best way to support a podcast is to show that podcast that you're involved. At least that's my input. Just by tweeting and just saying, "Hey, I like what you said about the comic book, blah." Then I know you listened. By sending questions, I know that you're, providing input to me to support the podcast. To retweet the podcasts, that helps out a lot because all of the people that you're following get to see the episode that you're retweeting. So, like, If I listen to a podcast, you'll always see me, if I see it on my timeline, reposting like Comics for Fun and Profit. I'll retweet those. I'll retweet when Vince posts 11 o'clock comics. I retweet what Brightside Chat whenever I listen to that. And I see that come across my timeline. I don't get all of them, but if it comes across my timeline and I see it, I'll retweet it to say, "Hey, yeah, I support your podcast, and I here's all my followers can see that." But that's a good way to support. Email is also a good way, although that takes more energy and you have to sit and write something thought-provoking in an email. But I'm gonna end it there. I am going to pause this and then come back with a week's worth of what I read. So I'm gonna be right back. And I'm back. And we're gonna just do 2 weeks this week because my voice is actually getting tired. Not drinking too much water, I guess. I'm gonna take a sip right now, matter of fact. Right, so we're gonna start with November 1st through November 7th. We're gonna start at the bottom with what I watched. I started watching Chucky, the TV show, and I Know What You Did Last Summer TV show. I rated those 4 out of 5s. The 5 out of 5s that I watched were Batman and Long Halloween Part 1 and 2, and also The Loser's Short. That was really good. I also, and the, okay, the Chucky I watched on Sci-Fi USA Network. I Know What You Did Last Summer TV show, that was Amazon. I like to tell you where I watched it. Because when I listen to podcasts and they don't tell me, I have to do the research myself in case I'm interested in seeing what was there. But Batman: A Long Halloween Part 1 and 2 and The Loser's Short, I watched that on DVD, Blu-ray, because that's where I had it. Batman: Soul of the Dragon, I also watched that on Blu-ray. That was a 5 out of 5. And the movie Eternals, I gave a 5 out of 5. I really liked that movie. And to tell you the truth, I was more into that movie than Spider-Man, No Way Home. I think the No Way Home thing I saw way after, and I had been spoiled because of memes and stuff like that. So it might have taken away from my experience of the movie. And I appreciate like how the movie sort of linked things together and put like without spoiling it the thing I liked about Spider-Man No Way Home, and I've been trying to preach this message to everybody who reads comics. Every comic matters. Every story matters. And I think by saying that, I've built this my own continuity in my head. I never say that a comic doesn't matter or it's just a wasted time. It matters from an historical perspective, and it matters. And I think Spider-Man No Way Home, in terms of continuity, says, well, everything matters, and here's why. That's the message I liked on that. But Eternals, I was more into because I am not too familiar with the source material. Yeah, I've never read the Jack Kirby Eternals, and I've started reading it. I think we have some of it reviewed in this show. And I started reading the new Eternals. I think it's the Karen Gillan story. I can't remember who's doing that, but really enjoying it. But the movie, like to me, added to my enjoyment of the comic books, and that's usually inverse of what I usually say. But Yeah, that's what I watched. That week I didn't read much comics. A matter of fact, I'm on this weird trend where I'm not reading a lot of comics, to the truth. I read Ted Comics. That's a pitiful set of comics. I think I've been spending more time on streaming services than I am reading comics. But I did read a comic book called Monster Hunters number 14. This was from Charlton back in the day, and it was an all Steve Ditko issue. There was a story of a farmer discovers a giant, an experimenter attracts a large sea creature and then destroys it. A father finally can't take any more from his son, who is a thief. An angry sea captain, because a god is on an island, only later to find when the real wooden god washes up to shore, his reign is gone. So it had a bunch of stories all told by Steve Ditko. It was entertaining. I gave it a 4 out of 5. From the Darkness, that is an Adventure Line comic book. This is one of the early works from Jim Ballant. You say, like, what is Adventure Comics? Well, they published like things like Logan's Run and a lot of things. I think Malibu owned the Adventure line. I think some Planet of the Apes comics came from Adventure Comics. This was called From the Darkness. It's an early Jim Ballant book. It's about a brother who kills his twin brother because he was a vampire, only to find himself hunted by his brother's female vampire lover. It was early work by Ballant, but it is really nice art. Really, like, usually sometimes you could see like growing pains with some artists. Well, his art was really crisp and really detailed. I really liked it. We have Eternals from 2021, which we were just sort of talking about. This is a resurrection machine is destroyed by Thanos. Eternals are being killed, and we don't know who it is. The main Eternals are trying to find out who it could be. Icarus does throw down with Thanos, but does escape with Sprite's help. So I've been really entertained by this. After seeing the movie, it added to my enjoyment of this because I had read this before, at least the first two issues, and then I reread one and two, and then three and four, and I enjoyed it a hell of a lot more after seeing the film. I read Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man 95 and 96. This was in a sort of epic collection, but was never an epic collection. A few years ago, they were when Cloak and Dagger was released on Family Fun Channel, FF, wherever that was. That's where they released Runaways. They released a show called Cloak and Dagger, which was based on the comic book. And at the time, they were pumping out a lot of. They didn't title them epic, but they look like epic. They were Cloak and Dagger trades that didn't have the epic banner, but they sure felt like epic. And I'm still working on one of the trades that's Cloak and Dagger, but this Cloak and Dagger one had 95 and 96. Silvermane is out of control as Dagger took his soul, and he's after her for tr and trying to return it. Kingpin is trying to save Vanessa and thinks that Dagger can do it because of the answer. That's another character. Rose is trying to take over as the Kingpin working for him. So he's trying to overthrow the current Kingpin. Spider-Man gets his ass kicked by Silvermane, and Black Cat takes him home to heal. But as soon as he, takes off his clothes and he's Peter, Black Cat's, I'm out. That was always a funny part of the relationship, and she loved him as Spider-Man. But man, when he was Peter Parker, nothing to do with, like, she must have thought he was so unattractive out of costume. I don't know what that situation was like, but that's got to be a weird relationship. Black Cat keeping a secret from Spider-Man that she got her powers from the Kingpin. Those were those bad luck powers. The symbiote is taking Peter out at night without him knowing, so this is the venom that's still on Peter. He gets with Reed and they remove the symbiote. This wasn't the main story, but because Spectacular Spider-Man was in continuity with the other books, it kind of briefly mentioned it in this book. MJ knows Peter is Spider-Man and they are not a couple anymore. Spidey and the Black Cat help free Dagger along with Cloak and they get away. Dagger did not help Vanessa like Kingpin wanted, so Kingpin is pissed. Those were fun comics. These ones I had read off the spinner rack, but in this case, I read them out of that trade paperback I was telling you about. G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero 123. It started with the Joes getting chased down the side of a mountain and then kicking the shit out of Cobra. LOL is a comment. Who the fuck is this cesspool motherfucker? I wonder if he had a toy, but he's like a sewer guy. He is a smart engineer who's actually wins a government contract to dispose of toxic waste, but instead turns that toxic waste into weapons. Zarana tells Cobra Commander Cesspool is stepping out of his bounds. Flint is assigned as a leader on a special mission with Clean Sweep and Ozone, and their new mission is to sort of go after environmental threats, and that's they'll eventually have a run-in with Cesspool. I forgot to take credit for the 5 out of 5, which is Titan Comics. So let's do that. Titan Comics 1. So I read 11 comics that week. The last 4 out of 5 is Grim Fairy Tales of Terror number 3. Two roommates and one works in a morgue and the other is looking to meet a guy online. The morgue girl helps her get a date with a guy she falls for. The male morgue guy is also using the online dating to lure women and kill them and feeding them these corpse beetles that eat the flesh. The beautiful roommate takes the date her friend asks her not to, and she gets jealous and sprays her face with the pheromone that attracts the beetles and messes up her face and goes on the date, only to find out it is the morgue guy who she works with, and he's going to kill her instead of her roommate. So it's like one of those twisted, Tales from the Crypt stories. Really like this Grim Fairy Tales of Terror. I'd recommend Grim Fairy Tales of Terror to anyone who likes Vault of Horror, Crypt, Tales from the Crypt, or any of those types of shows, Creep Show. They'll dig Grim Fairy Tales of Terror. The 5 out of 5 is Gun Honey number 2. Gun Honey plans another job, but is set up by someone she hires and then has to go to a supply a gun to that person in prison. Gun Honey is interesting because she's not a gun runner, but she sort of supplies guns to people that have to get into an area that guns aren't allowed. So she'll stage a gun in a location where her client could grab the gun and kill somebody in that room. So she has to break into the room or the vault or wherever the gun's going to be prior to that person entering that location so you can use the gun. She has to plant the gun. That's kind of the premise of Gun Honey. That was a 5 out of 5 from Titan Comics. So now we're going to go to November 8th through November 14th, 2021. Again, I watched a lot of TV. I saw Promising Young Woman. That was a good series on HBO Max. That was about a woman that has a tragic event. Her best friend gets killed, and it's kind of like a vengeance thing. But she starts to hate like a lot of men. So that's what that kind of story's like. Revenge type story. A 4 out of 5 was Red Notice. This was Ryan Reynolds, Gal Gadot, and The Rock, all in a movie where they're thieves, kind of like a Pink Panther type movie, if you like Pink Panther and Peter Sellers with more action, you'll dig this. Batman, The Death of Robin, and the Shorts. I watched that. Red Notice was on Netflix. Batman, The Death of Robin, and Shorts was Blu-ray I watched. The Shorts were Sergeant Rock, Death, Phantom Stranger, and Adam Strange. And those were some of the best cartoons. Those were better than the main feature. The Batman, The Death of Robin, was kind of annoying because you sit there and you have to go through all the different options, and it's like choose your own adventure. Do you want Robin to die? Well, then it ends sort of like the comic. But then there's all their choices, and there's all these possible combinations you have to go back forward. I watched about 80% of them and then gave up because it was just too much work. But it is interesting, to see an animation thing for like a choose your own adventure. Those all I gave a 4 out of 5. The 3 out of 5 was The Convent. That I saw on Tubi. I was watching like this. I find information a lot on Twitter. I'll scroll and see a movie poster and like, oh, that looks interesting. I don't know what that is. I'll watch it. Somebody was talking about the movie The Convent, and I watched it. And it wasn't as good as I thought it would be, even though it was cheesy. I expected it to be cheesy, but it's about a bunch of teenagers breaking into an old convent where there's a story of one of the women's breaking in there and slaughtering all the priests and the nuns because she was pregnant and they aborted her baby. And now it's believed to be haunted, and every year people break into this convent, and these teenagers experience the supernatural things in there. And it turns out that some of that story was true, and the main character that lived that life was Adrienne Barbeau, if you know who that is, a very sexy woman from back in the day. She was in Swamp Thing. She played Abby Cable in the movie, the original movie. And she's in this movie as well as that older woman who did kill the priests and the nuns, and now helps one of the main characters try to rescue her brother. So that week I had 21 comics, a little bit better. One Scout, one Mad Cave, 8 Marvel, 5 Image, 1 Fantagraphics, 3 DC, 1 Comixology, 1 Aftershock. Good distribution that week. We'll get into the 4 out of 5s. There were no 3 out of 5s. The 4 out of 5 started with Redshift. A young man is propositioned to leave Mars because they are running out of supplies. The last failure launch into space was his mom, and he is reluctant to leave his remaining family behind. So that's that. Bountiful Garden. That was from Mad Cave. And it's a sci-fi adventure as kids are sent into space and hibernation when they are awoken early when they're near a strange planet. Sounds like aliens, doesn't it? Do you remember in Alien 1? Their hibernation was going on and they were awoken early. Well, that's that, except with a bunch of kids. The members go down to the planet to assess the situation and see about getting supplies, and there's some weird shit happening on that planet. Next one's a DC. We got DC, The Detective. This is Tom Taylor. Bat hijackers crash an airplane in Europe. Knight. If you know, what are the Knight and I can't think of Knight and Squire. So back in the 2000s, Knight and Squire, I believe, came out of Batman Inc. And they even had their own series, a 4-issue mini series. But Knight and Squire are in here. It turns out that the current Knight Squire is now the Knight. Knight serves service survives the explosion of in the airplane. She it's really though not the Knight that we know, which was the male. It's Squire who's the female now, who is the Knight. I know that sounds confusing, but Squire has now inherited the role of Knight. So Knight survives that explosion, and Batman heads over there to take on a Batman cult. He fights them off as they attack the hospital, and it did introduce a new, brand new Squire. Crush and Lobo number one. This one surprised me. I really thought this one was an interesting slice of life comic, as well as exploited, Crush and her relationship with her father Lobo. But a story about Crush's girlfriend's party and Crush bringing down an alien contamination on her boots, which causes a disaster at the party, and the girlfriend ha breaks up with her because of it. Crush is miserable when she gets a call from her dad, Lobo, in prison. And yeah, we'll see where that goes from here. She agrees to help free him from prison. We have Eternals 1 through 4. This is like the 78, 77 series by Jack Kirby. Icarus is on the dig to release Ajax so they can wake up the Celestial and in 50 years bring about the end of the Earth. The father archaeologist decides to stay behind and witness that, Earth being destroyed. The deviants attacked the celestial, the actual Eternals and the Celestials, but failed to stop the awakening, and a huge dome is now placed over the Celestial, so that the Earth is still going to die in 50 years. Nobody seems to care. Icarus takes the daughter to New York. You can see how this plays into the movie, by the way, by what I'm telling you, where they dug plot points out of the original source material. Icarus takes the daughter to New York, to Circe, when New York is attacked by the deviants. We got Weird War Tales 113. This is a Mark Silvestri told story, but not the G.I. Robot piece. At least I don't remember it being that story. But a G.I. robot is brought into action to help the army fight off a Japanese version of a robot samurai. There's a story of a war starting because of an actual soldier shooting a bird. I wonder if that's true. And it was the Italians versus the Ethiopians during World War II. There's a story of us destroying the world through pollution, and aliens coming down to try to help the remaining survivors, but that doesn't work out that well. So I'm gonna pause this because my phone is ringing. I'm back. That was my mother calling and letting me know, which I already knew about because my wife had been texting me that there's a fire near my brother's house in Boulder. But he's on the other side of it, but it is affecting some of his workers. They might have to evacuate their home. My brother owns his own company, so some of his workers are going to be affected by that, having to leave their homes. The winds are really bad. Like I told you earlier, how our fence is just about to blow down. I think we got up to 35 mile an hour gusts. I think near my brother's house, they were, I don't remember if they said up to 90 miles an hour, which is horrible to have in a fire situation. That causes things to spread very fast. But let's get back on target. So we were talking about the alien stuff. I think that's the one that was drawn by Mark Silvestri. So what I was doing, well, what I've been doing, if you've been listening to this podcast, is I've been trying to acquire every Todd McFarlane drawn book. Eric Larson, John Book, and then I started working on, Mark Silvestri, and I've already worked on Valentino in terms of Shadowhawk and some of his works out of the Shadowline imprint. And I do have all those Guardians of the Galaxy work that he did with the original, Charlie 13 or whatever his name is, and those versions of the Guardians of the Galaxy. And I've already talked about my love for the Liefeld stuff, and I've been continuing to get stuff on Liefeld. I always find stuff I'm missing, and whenever I can get, even if it's just a cover, I go after it. But same with Silvestri, and I still got to do the Portacio, but it's basically trying to acquire, the Jim Lee, everything of the original creators that I could possibly get. Jim Lee, I'm pretty close to, in terms of having all his work through DC and Wildstorm, and Image. There might be a few off titles. I know there was a Conan cover he did that I just recently acquired, trying to get all of the covers that they've drawn, Punisher, his work on Punisher, that kind of stuff. So that was the driver on that. I was just acquiring those. We have Demons. The Demon Killers are going. This is a Comixology. This is a really good one. This is by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. So if you love that, and it looks very Spawnish because Capullo did Spawn for many, many years. I think he did more Spawn than Todd McFarlane drew Spawn, but we got the Demon Killers are going after Sight, and they are attacked by demons on a mid like a air flight. The demon that is on their side loses his control halo, which controls him and makes him an ally, and he attacks his own team. He regains control. They find out they have a traitor on board, and it turns out to be the girl's dead father that they are taking to be buried. We got G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, 124 and 126. Each page contains three story threads. Cesspool takes down Flint and his Echo Warriors. The Joes are in trouble on Broca Beach. And Snake Eyes and the Ninja Force appear to stop Slice and Dice and the Red Ninjas. The conclusion to the Cesspool saga, when they take him down as well as the Broca Beach, but now the Joes suspect the entire town is Cobra. They're always slow to the punch. Yes, they are Cobra. The Ninja Force comes to a conclusion as Slice and Dice reveals he is really Firefly, who almost defeats them and tells his origin. And I understand this is a retcon of Firefly to make him more of a ninja, which is very interesting. I had posted about this and somebody told me about this retcon, and I did a little bit of research, and turns out to be true, and I didn't know about that little piece of history because I am starting G.I. Joe. A lot of what I've been reading is in the hundreds after a lot of these things have already been established. From Image Comics, we have King Spawn number 3. Spawn confronts Kincaid when trying to rescue a child and appears to destroy Kincaid by ripping him apart, but turns out Kincaid defeats Spawn and the young boy crowns him. I guess that's why it is called King Spawn. Spawn 323. Spawn is met by Rebirth and his vampire clan to form an alliance, but he refuses and is attacked by Rebirth. This leads Spawn to resurrect zombies to fight off Rebirth's vampires, and Spawn kills Rebirth, but he's extremely weakened by the process. We have Gunslinger Spawn number 1. He is in the current time and runs out of gas. A gas station worker teaches him about his motorcycle, because he's always been horses and now he has a motorcycle, and takes him home to find his father is part of that angel scene, and now he has to kill his son. It shows two stories about his past, one where he tries to save a child, also with the same name, last name as the boy that's at the gas station. If you're not paying attention, you will miss that. You got Vinyl Number One. This one I really enjoyed, but it was fucking weird. An FBI guy turns himself over to a cult to save his daughter, and his friend's a psycho killer, at least supposedly friend. The killer thinks he's a friend to this FBI guy. Comes to his rescue. It's very confusing, but very compelling at the same time. We have Eternals 5 and 6 from the current 2021. It is Phastos and Druig that freed Thanos to destroy the machine. Could it have been for the right reasons? Stay tuned and we'll find out. We have Ant Number One. This is from Eric Larson. The origin of Ant, as it shows a little girl growing up and drawing comics about the Ant character. Her father works for the government on technologies to avoid acts of terrorism. The government cancels his program before he can finish it, but he takes a vial. Later, he's attacked at his home, and he gives his daughter a shot. When he is shot, and she gains ant-like powers, she is now a teenager. It has in the letters page the journey to creating Ant and the acquisition of the Ant character from Mario Gully. Really an awesome comic if you're an Eric Larson fan, an Ant fan, or a Mario Gully fan. You must buy Ant Number One. Five out of fives that week were Seven Swords from Aftershock. Well, the Three Musketeers are dead, and D'Artagnan forms a team to go after the Cardinal after Travel is murdered. Travel, if you're not a Musketeer fan, I love Musketeers. Oh my God. It all started with the Michael York D'Artagnan movie. And ever since then, I've watched every Three Musketeer movie that's ever come out and every TV show. And I read every comic that I can run across. Travel is like the leader of the Musketeers, he's like the head Musketeer. We got Red Room Number Four. A young girl lost her father to Donna Butcher. She sets herself up to go to prison to avenge her father by killing Donna, and she actually succeeds. Red Room is a fantastic Ed Piskor book. Every issue that I've read has been world building and integral to the story. And you always read one and just want to keep reading more about this world. So I'm glad that it's continuing. Well, I'm getting sleepy, so that's all I'm gonna leave off with. We'll cover the rest of November hopefully next time. And I want to thank you for listening to my silly podcast, Mike M's Weekly Reads, my diary. And we'll get back to the flow of things hopefully in the new year. And I always say I'll be caught up, but I don't think it'll ever happen. But we'll try for sure. So thanks for listening. You can reach me at Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. You can find this podcast at geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can go to Facebook and type Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. Follow all the episode threads there. You can always send me questions at mike@comicbooknoise.com for email, or you could send them to at Mike Myers Brunch, and that's spelled Mike. Myers Brunch, Brunch on the Twitters, and send me your questions that way, and I will read your questions and answer them on this podcast. So take care. New Year's is coming up. I hope you all have a great year ahead of you. I hope good things happen to all of you. And I hope you keep enjoying your comic books and your pop culture, because there's a lot to consume and there's a lot to enjoy. And share that love for the comics and wherever you can, because somebody will want to hear it. We'll talk to you soon, and take care.